We're going to continue our series that we began 2 weeks ago. This is the third week, and we've entitled it, "If It Is To Be, It's Up To Me." We've talked about several things here. We're talking about setting goals and how that goal setting is a spiritual thing. It's not just a New Year's resolution. It is a spiritual responsibility that we have. Goals are important. Goals are spiritual in that they honor God. That's how we set our goals. We ask the question, does this goal honor God? Is it motivated by love? And do I have to depend on Him to achieve that goal? And what that ensures is that we have an ongoing, growing relationship with God. That's the important thing in life. Now, our scripture that we're going to use today, this is one that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. And it says this, "For you were bought at a price." How big a price was that? Huge, wasn't it? It cost a man his life. It cost a man his life. "You're bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." Now, the revelation in this is that we are not owners. We are managers. We are stewards. So we don't own ourselves. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you no longer, and really everybody belongs to God in that sense, even though that they're not following God, they have a responsibility. But especially when we become believers, we have to come to the realization that our life is no longer ours. It's His. My body, my spirit, my mind, my everything is His. And I just manage. I don't own it. I manage. God has given us everything that we need in order to be successful in life. And by what do you mean by success? Success is you doing what you were designed to do and be. It's different for every person. Not everybody stands before a congregation and speaks. Some people are put together to do other things. And so God has given you everything that you need in order to do that. Today we're going to talk about the mind. The mind. Last week we talked about our spiritual life and how that we need to set spiritual goals in our life. And we talked about the importance of putting God's word. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." One of the greatest things that God has given us is the Bible. That deserved a better amen than that, I'm telling you. That's one of God's greatest gifts to us. "For by it we know who He is, we know what He's about, we know what He likes, we know what He doesn't like." And why should we ignore that? And I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you. I'm trying to get you to set a goal. Now, I've had a goal for several years, and for 3 years I read the Bible all the way through. A couple of years I've read the New Testament. I've gone on a deal in last year. I read part of the Old Testament, all of the New Testament. This year I'm on a reading program that has to do with chronological New Testament. And it's a little bit different. I choose a different translation every year because I want to hear it from a different perspective. It's the same word, but it's translated differently. You say, "Well, I just struggle with reading the Bible all the way through." Well, don't read it all the way through. Set smaller goals. Maybe you could survive for a week, and you could find a Bible plan that was a week long. Maybe it's has to do with marriage. Maybe it has to do with finances. Maybe it has to do with success. Maybe it has to do with fear. Maybe it has to do with overcoming a particular area of your life. And it's a week long, and you can accomplish that. You know what? When you get through with that, if you did it for 1 week, you know what you can do? You can set another goal. Maybe it's another week. Maybe you could do a month. A month. 30 days. And if you keep doing that, before long, you know what you'll be doing? By habit, you'll be reading the Bible. You'll be reading the Bible. And it's God's word that speaks to us. It nourishes us spiritually. It enhances our relationship with Him. And it's so, so important. God has given us what we need to succeed spiritually. Well, today we're going to talk about the mind. And when I talk about the mind, don't think about the brain. Okay? The brain and the mind are two different things. Think back to the Garden of Eden when God created man. It says that He formed his body out of the dust of the earth. And it said He had no life in him. And it says that God breathed the breath of life. You know what the word spirit is? It's the word breath. God breathed into Adam, Adam's spirit. And it says man became a living soul. What is the soul? It's the mind, it's the will, it's the emotion. The interaction of the spirit with the body created a consciousness in man. He became conscious of the world that he lives in. And see, the mind is so important to who we are and what we do. It's because it is our, it's like that the body holds hands with the mind, and the spirit holds hands with the mind. So it is the intermediary between the mind and the body. It's that we have self-consciousness, we have God consciousness through our mind and our facility that God has given us. And so that's such an important part of our life. So when it talks about the mind, it's not really talking about the brain. The brain is part of the body, but it's the part of the body that the mind works through. Now, you've been given a great thing when you have been given your brain, okay? Your brain is a wonderful organ. It's a muscle. In fact, it will do whatever you need it to do. It will. It's amazing what the brain is all about. Listen, let me give you some things about the brain. The brain is made up of neurons, which is little cells, and they get excited, and they pass electrical and chemical impulses. And you have 100 billion neurons in your brain. Now, your brain is about yay big. Has 100 billion neurons. That's as many as there are stars in the Milky Way. Your brain is a very complex organ. Now, the communication system between the neurons is called synapses. And you have each neuron in your brain has between 1,000 and 10,000 synapses. And what it does, the synapses allow the electrical energy and the chemical energy to communicate between the neurons. And in that, you have the ability to think. You have the ability to store memory. And it's just a wonderful thing that evolution did. I don't think so, do you? No, there's an intelligent designer behind your brain. His name is Jehovah God, God Almighty, the God of the Bible. No, it's just impossible that just happened. So it's so complex. In fact, we could go into some other things. But science one time tried to emulate the brain. And what they were able to do was to emulate brain function for 1 second. Okay, now get this. So they created this program. It took like 83,000 processors, and they created these little neuron things, and they 1.7 billion of them, and I forget how many billion or trillion synapses in that to emulate the function of the brain. This shows you how big your brain is, or how vast your brain is, and they were able to generate function of the brain for 1 second. It consumed it consumed 1 petabyte of memory. Now, a petabyte is big. A petabyte, now help me, David. So we have terabytes, then petabytes. It's 1,000 terabytes. Now, a gig, we know what gigs are because we have a gig on our computer. Well, 1,000 gigs is a terabyte, and 1,000 terabytes is a petabyte. It consumed that much energy or that much space to emulate the function of your brain for 1 second, and it took 40 minutes to do it. Your brain is an amazing thing. In fact, scientists believe that your brain has about 2.5 petabytes of memory. Now, if you were to turn the TV on and were to record the television for 24 hours a day, it would take 340 years to use up 2.5 petabytes. Now tell me, has God given you a wonderful instrument? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You will never tax your brain. You will never fill your brain up. God has given you a wonderful thing. Don't do things to destroy it. Don't do things that gives you brain damage. We need to manage what God has given us. God has given us what we need in life to succeed. Your brain is able to do any function that you need to do in life for you to be successful in life. But you know what you got to do? You got to manage it. You got to manage it. You've got to make some choices. You got to set some goals. You got to do some things in order that your brain can function in the way that it was designed to do and be, so that you can become the person that God designed you to be in life. And y'all want to talk about this a little bit? We're going to talk about the mind. Not the brain, the mind. The mind flows through the brain. The mind uses the brain for its storage. You can remember. You can remember. You know what? You can train your brain to remember. Your brain has to be trained. The mind has to be trained. So you can do that. See, Psalms 39:14 says this. He says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous is the works of God. Marvelous what He gave you to live in this earth. Your physical body. And the brain is only one part of it. There's other things that makes this marvelous that God has given us these things. So, you have power through choice. You have power through choice. And see, this is foundation. This is foundation in all of life. I choose to become an owner, or I choose to become a manager. And that will dictate the direction that your life will go. If you choose in your body to be an owner, you will abuse your body. If you choose to be a manager, it gives you a different mindset about your body, about your mind, about your spirit. You are the one. So, because if it is to be, it's up to me. You say, well, I thought it was up to God. God's already done everything that He's going to do. He's given us all that we need. Remember, we talked about the seed and the soil and the sun and the rain and the seasons. He's given us this brain. He's given us this body to function in the earth. He's given us ability. He's given us grace. He's given us talent. He's given us ability. And what do we need to do with it? We need to manage what God has given us. So we're going to talk about some things today that we have some choices to make where our mind is concerned. See, you have power over your mind, not outside events. I see too many people who are manipulated by outside events. You have no control what happens in the government other than your power to vote. Okay? We have no control over Donald Trump, our next president. He'll choose to do what he's going to do, and we can either vote for him next time or vote him out. But we have no control over those circumstances. What do I have control over? Me. How I react. What I do with the choices that I make in my life. In fact, my success has nothing to do with what the government does. It doesn't even have anything to do with what my wife does. It has to do with the choices that I make. I can't change you. I can't change my wife. I have tried. I can't change her. I've worked on my mother-in-law. She's getting worse. Not really. You know, she turned 85 this week. Bless her heart. And she's still kicking high. She can't hear anything. That's why I can talk about her. She heard that, though, didn't she? She's a lovely lady. She's your friend? Okay. All right. I'll be in trouble, won't I? Somebody doubled their fist up at me. Wow. I can't change anything out here, but I can choose for change to happen in here. And here's a secret that you need to know. If you change enough things in here, it will affect what happens out here. You'll have an influence. You see, you're either influenced by out here or you become an influencer because of the change that takes place on the inside of you. Say, how can I do that? Well, if it is to be, it's up to me. I have to make choices. And with the mind, here is the first one. We're going to talk about several here. We have to make a choice between two extremes. Number one, I manage or I own. I manage my mind, I manage that, or I own it. If I own it, I'll abuse it. If I manage it, I'll do my best to honor God. Because we said goal setting had to do what? Does it honor God? Number two, is it motivated by love? Number three, will it cause me to grow closer to God? Will I have to depend on God to reach these goals? Yes. When you set these mental goals, you have to depend on God. You have to depend on His Word. You have to find out what He likes, what He doesn't like. And you change your mind and you change your heart to manage according to that, not according to what I want. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we want things that hurt us? Don't we? I want to eat all the cake I can see. Chocolate, oh my goodness. I want to eat all that I can see till I'm just sick. And what I do, I go, pah. What does it do here? A lot of the things that we want to do, that our flesh wants to do, are destructive to us and the people around us. Can I just tell you, the things that God wants with your body, the things that God wants with your mind, the things that God wants with your spirit won't hurt other people, because those decisions will be couched in the love of God, in the will of God, and in depending on God to grow those things. It won't hurt people. It won't hurt you. In fact, it'll make you a blessing. It'll make you blessed, and it'll make you a blessing too. Well, I have rights. I know. You can do that if you want to. Or you can say, God, I give up what I want because I see that this is what you want. And you know what? When you do that, it'll be such a thrill to your life. Now, is it hard sometimes? Tim was talking about going by the meat counter. He wanted a steak real bad, and he knows he don't supposed to eat steaks. Say, what's wrong with a steak? Well, we'll talk about that sometime. To me, it's pie and cake and sugar and all of those things. Yeah, okay, but so I have to choose, am I going to manage versus, or am I going to be an owner? Number two, and I like this one. This is the crux of it. I guard or I ignore. I choose what comes in, or I leave the gates open and let anything come in. See, Proverbs 4:23 tells us this. It says, "Above, keep your heart with all diligence, For out of it springs the issues of life. You live out of your heart. See, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? It speaks. Whatever you put in there is what's going to come out. G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you allow into your brain, your mind, your consciousness will affect you. No matter what that is. It's what you choose to let in, what other people do sometimes to you or say to you. You have to guard your heart. It's important. Somebody walks up to you and said, "Hey, have you heard what David Jones did?" Well, David Jones is my brother in Christ. Now I have a choice to make. Maybe he offended somebody, or maybe somebody took offense at some stand that he took about something, and they're out to hurt him. Well, if I listen to that, if I allow that to go in unbridled, he may have a convincing argument, and all of a sudden I'm offended at David now. I've borrowed an offense. It would be a whole lot easier for me to say, you know what? David Jones is my brother in Christ, and I just don't want to hear that. I won't have that to do. I'm guarding my heart. You've got to guard what you allow into your heart. Now, that goes into a lot of different areas. And part of it has to do with the kind of music that we listen to, the kind of television programs that we watch. Are you affected by? No, I'm just using that for entertainment. Hey, it gets into your mind. It gets into your consciousness. There's people who believe that zombies really exist. What's up with that? Somebody said, I thought they did. You've been watching too many zombies. That's not reality. Now, it's okay to watch TV. But you know what? If you turn it on when you get up in the morning and you shut it off when you go to bed at night, and that's your input, and you don't have maybe 2 minutes a word and nothing else, guess what? It's G-I-G-O. You watch as the stomach turns. And everybody's cheating on everybody else, and everybody's getting a divorce, and you know, everybody's, and you're thinking, dear God, will that affect your mind? Yes. Your spouse comes home and you think, what have you been doing? It affects us. We have to guard our hearts. We have to be choosy. I just invented a word. Put that in the dictionary. We have to be choosy to what we allow in here. You are responsible to manage what goes in your heart, your mind, because it will store in your mind. That's why pornography is so powerful, because it indelibly imprints in the mind those images, and it affects the behavior of those who look at that. So you're a manager or you're an owner. You guard or you leave the gates open. Here's the third thing. I feed or I starve. Now this is important. You have to choose to do certain things with your mind. First of all, you have to limit the bad stuff. Okay? I mean, there's certain TV programs you need to turn off. There's certain kind of music you don't want to listen to. I'm of the opinion, and this is strictly opinion, that your music ought to be God glorifying or love or something like that. And not this stuff that talks about killing people and cops or pigs and drinking and chasing, and I'm not going to get too explicit with all that, but you know what I'm talking about. That affects you. That affects your mind. That affects your reason, and you got to limit that. Listen to things that inspire you. Listen to things that lift you up. that builds your spirit, that builds up your mind, that causes you to think good thoughts. Good thoughts. Educate yourself. Now, I must confess, as a pastor, one thing that you have to be, I don't have a college degree. I have 0 degrees, none. So for me to be successful, I had to self-educate. Well, can I just say, I didn't like to read. I read because I had to. But one thing that I heard somebody say one time, and it rung true, leaders are, it rhymes, readers. And I think, well, yeah, but I don't like to read. I don't want to read. I read because I need to, because I had to, not because I like to. Well, I determined that I was going to change that. See, it's not always what you like that's good for you. Spinach is good for you. Broccoli is good for you. Chocolate is not. Cheese is not. Now, some of you are under conviction. So there's some things that are good for you that you have to develop a taste for. Water is good for you. Coca-Cola. Pepsi is, but Coca-Cola is not. Miss Gale's sweet tea is not good for you. It's good, but boy, it's not good for you. But water is good for you. Yeah, I know. But here's what I learned. When you start doing something and you start doing it consistently, you get to where you crave that. So I set a goal several years ago. I don't know whatever possessed me to set this goal, but my goal was to read 500 books in 10 years. That's big. Now, I know a guy that reads a book a day. That's crazy. And they're thick books. They're not little bitty, you know, comic books. They're thick books. So I set a goal that I'm going to read 500 books in 10 years. That's 50 books a year. That's about a book a week. That's doable. It's challenging. So I started doing that. I started it in the middle of a year, and that year I read 25 books. Every year since that, I have met my goal of 50 books. And I have become more and more of a reader. I desire to read. I rearrange my life around my goals. See, I read the Bible. I read books. I have to get up early to do that. I get up at 4:30 most mornings. And then I do my Bible reading, and then I read a book. When I walk, when I exercise, I have headphones. I listen to audio books. And as I begin to make that change in my life, it's amazing what it did for me, the person that it made me to accomplish that goal. Is it easy? No. If it's easy, anybody can do it. Now, it's easy to make that decision, but it's easy not to make that decision too. And that's kind of what we're faced with. It's easy to make goals, and it's easy to not make goals. But we're never going to change if we don't make some goals in our life. Now, here's something else we need to do, and this is more natural than it is spiritual. Your mind is a muscle. Your mind is a muscle. It's either going to get stronger or it's going to atrophy. And by exercising your mind, by reading, and something else that I like to do, and sometimes it frustrates me, is I work crossword puzzles. Why? Because that makes my mind work in a way. Because sometimes I have difficulty with memory. And so, therefore, working crossword puzzles helps to make me use my memory a lot. I know who invented the elevator. That's just about every week in the crossword. Otis invented the elevator. Did you know that? Some of you knew that because you work crossword puzzles. Some people do Sudoku or whatever you call Sudoku or whatever you call that. Some people do word searches. Some people do logic problems. But see, but we need something where we're exercising our minds. They need to be stronger. Listen, I think, this is an opinion, that it's a good preventative to dementia and Alzheimer's and some diseases like that. As we exercise our minds, that we're more resistant to those kind of things because those minds are active. And we need active minds. We need engaged minds. And the third thing is meditation. Think about what you read. Think about your goals. Think about your decisions. Let those roll over. You know, when you go to bed at night, now, I'm usually asleep within 5 minutes, but I want to think about my day during that time. And when I wake up early in the morning sometimes, I get some of the best ideas when I wake up in the morning because my mind has relaxed. It's been work. You see, your mind works all the time. And some of the greatest ideas I have come as I wake up in the morning and I lay in the bed for just a few minutes and I meditate on that and I think about that. We need to be contemplative. But listen, if we've always got noise blaring in our ears, it's hard to do that. So I have to choose. Am I going to feed my mind or am I going to ignore my mind? Am I going to starve it? Number four, am I going to plan or react? Am I going to set goals? Am I going to set mental goals? Or am I just going to react to life as it happens? When you set goals, you know, if somebody says, hey, let's go do this. Let's do this early in the morning. Well, I have to make a choice about something because I have a goal. I never neglect reading my Bible. That is a given. There are some days that I don't read, but most days I do read. And if I do rearrange something, then I have to set it around the goals that I have set in my life because I am not willing to neglect my goals. Why? Because my goals are making me the person that I need to be. When you start the habit of neglecting things, reacting to everything around you, guess what? The first thing you know, you'll no longer be pursuing your goals. So you have to manage that. You have to plan. You have to set those goals. And here's the fifth one. I change or I make excuses. You know what? I could go to church more if my spouse would cooperate with me. My kids don't want to go to church. Well, what do kids have to do with that? We never gave our children a choice. You say, well, are you going to warp them? All of my kids are serving God today. My grandkids do not have a choice. They're going to church. They say, I don't like church. Tough, you're going to church. It'll change. Well, I don't want to warp them. If you don't warp them, the world will. You need to warp them in the right way. They need that. Kids, listen. It's a different day. I was raised in the Stone Age. Brother, we didn't have guns in school. We didn't have violence in school. You know, they threw spit wads and chewed gum. Pop drop bra straps. You know, that's the things that you got in trouble for. I only got in trouble for three of those. Guilty. Our kids face a whole lot more than we ever did. They need that spiritual education. They need themselves in children's church. They need themselves in U-turn. They need themselves sitting in the congregation and listening to the Word of God. They need to be taught at home. They need that. Well, they don't want it. Tough. They'll get over it. They'll thank you someday that you gave it. Because I see kids all the time that have no spiritual upbringing. They find it very difficult to thrive in life. Anyway, So I change or I make excuses. Number six, I grow or I wither. That's your only two choices. I either grow or I wither. Well, I choose to grow. I'm not using age as an excuse to wither. I am not going, my goal is to be healthy, to be old, and to be productive. Now, I'm not old yet. And I feel like I'm still growing. And I feel like I'm getting more productive. But I want to be more so. I want to be a better communicator. I want to be a better person. I want to be more influential than I've ever been before. That's part of my goals. Because God designed me to be that. He designed you to be what you're supposed to be. So we have to grow or we wither. Number seven, I become or I remain. I become what God designed me to be, or I just remain the same. You don't remain the same. You go backwards. Christianity is kind of like a stream. And growth in life is kind of like a stream. You're swimming against the current. Because all the natural has the tendency to cause you to be like everybody else, to pull you back down. People will pull you down. Because most people don't grow. The percentage of people who read their Bible is small. The people who read books is small. You say, well, I can't afford to read books. Guess what? I got a solution for you. It's called a library card. Do you know what percentage of people in America have a library card? 3. 97% of people don't have library cards. We have libraries that are full of books. We have no excuse. I don't like to read. Well, get over yourself. Get over yourself. Set some goals. Set some goals. You either become or you remain the same. It's up to you. Because if it is to be, it's up to me. Let's stand. If our worship team didn't go home, we're going to sing a song. They're here. I ended it different than I did last. Let me pray a quick prayer. I want you to take some time this week and think about goals. Spiritual goals. Mental goals. We're going to talk about the physical. We're going to talk about the emotional. We're going to talk about financial. We're going to talk about some other areas. And I want you to think about setting goals for this next year. Goals that honor God. Goals that are motivated by love. And goals that will cause you to depend on God to reach those goals. Because that's the way God wants it to be. Father, thank you. We love you today. You've given us so much freely. Help us not to ignore it. Help us not to take it for granted. But help us, Lord, to see the potential that we have in you. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.